We head on up to New York. Ken Davidoff from the New York Post, nice enough to join us. Ken, thank you for taking the time to be on with us.
It's my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
What did the Mets find injury-wise?
Well, they definitely found something with the elbow, and it's possible it was beyond the elbow based on reporting of some of my competitors whose work I respect. But my original reporting was an elbow issue.
So you've got the Mets, obviously, with this elbow injury, and they don't come to an agreement. Boris puts out there that he's absolutely fine. Best as you can tell, what is the truth?
Well, I don't think there has to be one truth in this instance, right? I mean, different orthopedists can come to different conclusions. So the facts are that Kumar Rocker pitched regularly for Vanderbilt, right? Never missed a turn, never missed a start. The fact also is that it diminished did go up and down a little this past season, is what my understanding. You probably know better than me.
Yeah.
Which wasn't necessarily that much of an aberration in a season after a pandemic, right? I think it's quite possible. And what happened is that the Mets team doctor was concerned enough that the Mets didn't even make an offer to Kumar Rocker, as you know. But the Scott Boras works with some very respected and established orthopedists who disagree with that assessment.
On the Mets front, I think the thought of, they're trying to be cheap simply doesn't wash, given a new ownership that has been incredibly aggressive since they've taken over.
Well, I would actually punch back a little bit at the notion that he's been incredibly aggressive. I don't think he's been that aggressive. But I certainly think common sense tells you you don't have the 10th overall pick in the draft and decide ahead of time, well, we're just not going to even, bother trying to sign this guy. I think the Mets clearly saw something they didn't like in the medicals.
Watson, say hello to Ken Davidoff from the New York Post.
Ken, who do you see here? Because both sides paid dearly in this deal to me. I mean, is this on the Mets that they didn't take it far enough to investigate him and to take one that high in the draft? Or is it that the Rocker group held something back that the Mets didn't know, that they kept something from? Because I'm telling you, Ken, to me, both sides pay dearly here. This is not good either way.
I agree with you 100%. Both sides get hurt by this. And I think of a nuanced situation. I don't know how closely you follow this, Watson, but Major League Baseball has the option for the top pitchers in the draft, the top 30 pitchers. If you'd like, you can submit to an MRI before the draft. That information gets distributed to all 30 teams. And then if a team still drafts you with, having seen that MRI, it must offer you, I believe it's 60% of the slotted figure. If you don't participate in that program, then all bets are off, and a team can draft you and not even make an offer. So Kumar Rocker did not participate in that program, as is standard for Scott Boras advisees, and he, therefore, when the Mets decided they saw something, they didn't have to offer him a penny. So it is nuanced and complicated. You could argue that Rocker should have just submitted to the MRI beforehand. You could argue that the Mets should have done a better job on due diligence. But ultimately, as you said, both are losers.
Do you know if the Mets asked Rocker to do an MRI prior?
I do not know explicitly. I can tell you that would be extremely out of protocol, out of practice. Practice is if the player wants an MRI, wants his medicals to be out there, he goes through the formal MLB program. And if he doesn't, then he doesn't. And then individual teams don't necessarily say, hey, we want to see this.
Ken, how does this work? You'll have to educate me here. Do they own Kumar now for a year before the next draft? Do they completely lose this draft by not signing him? Is Rocker completely free from the day he didn't sign? How does this go down?
This goes down as the drafting of the selecting of Kumar Rocker with the 10th overall pick is a finished business. He will not be signed by the New York Mets in this cycle, in this calendar. both sides move on. The Mets get 11th pick next year, as of now, as a makeup, as a comp pick. And then Kumar Rocker is eligible for next year's draft, but Kumar Rocker does not become a free agent. He has to make his decision. It appears he is not going back to Vandy. It appears that he's just going to work out on his own in some capacity, and he'll be eligible for the 2022 draft.
So the Mets do have to redraft him again, which is highly unlikely.
I don't think they'll be redrafting him.
Yeah.
I would not bank
on. And I don't think Rocker would want that either.
Precisely.
To say the least. So it's just a sad deal to me, Ken, and I don't know what the answer is, but Major League Baseball needs to look at this. Maybe they need to make these kids. Can they legally make kids have MRIs and high in the draft like that? Is that legal?
It's not legal in terms of being held up in a courtroom. They could tell them, look, you know, we're not going to take you seriously, you know, if you don't do this. And they could pressure all teams to not draft such a pitcher. But the bottom line is, if a guy is talented enough and he has leverage and he's not going to do it, then ultimately some team is going to say, well, we're going to draft you anyway. So I'm not really sure this is a real general crisis. I think this is a very specific, sad situation, as you said.
Yeah, and the good news, at least for the Mets, they're not out money. They're not out the money. They lose a first round, a high first round pick. But they could have signed him, and then he didn't work out. So, I mean, it could be worse. But I don't know. I just think if I'm Major League Baseball, I look at this, and I try to figure out a way to keep this from happening.
I have to be honest with you, Watson. I don't see that happening. I think it's not the first time that a high draft pick hasn't signed due to medical concerns. And it's just kind of a reality of the situation. I'm not really sure how that could be bypassed. You know, you're talking about professional athletes, baseball specifically with pitchers, as we know, it's such a perilous job and so fraught with risk. I'm not really sure how there's a workaround to this. I think it's just an unfortunate reality. And there's a thousand other unfortunate realities of pitching, right? It's just the way it is.
Yep. Terry?
Ken, when all this was going down, did you, in talking to any of your sources, ever... Was the words Tommy John surgery or anything like that ever brought up? And could the Mets have worked out a deal that, hey, have surgery, get your arm fixed, and we'll sign you to X amount and retain your rights?
No, that was never. Once the Mets saw the physicals, they decided that they were done. They saw the medicals, they were done with them, that they were not going to make an offer and move on. They clearly think this is beyond Tommy John surgery.
Ooh.
Wow.
Ooh.
And what are Kumar Rocker's options other than just to sit out and wait for next year's draft? I guess he could go play in an independent league, or he could go to Japan and play over there if he wanted to, but those don't seem like very attractive options right now.
No, and I'll be honest with you guys. I thought the most attractive option would be go back to Vanderbilt, and he has two more years of eligibility there left, and could go back into the draft next year. And now with the name, image, likeness rules, could make a little bit of money. But he's made it clear yesterday that that's not happening. So the options are most likely playing independent ball. I mean, Japan, most of those clubs are going to want a longer commitment than for a year. And he's still. It's not like he can go to Japan for a year and come back and be a bona fide big money free agent. You know, you have to be 25 to do that, and he's only 21, so he'd have to wait 4 years to take that route. So his options are somewhat limited, and it appears he's just going to lay low, maybe pitch some independent ball and get himself ready for next year's draft.
So, going back to my first question, if this elbow injury is worse and beyond what Tommy John surgery could fix, do you know any details as far as how bad it is and exactly what is going on in his elbow supposedly?
No, I think I've tried to be pretty explicit here. All I know is that my original report was that it was an elbow. And as I noted, one of my rivals, MLB.com, had a story posted late last night saying it was not simply Tommy John surgery. There was more than that. Does that mean shoulder? It could. I want to put my cards on the table and let you guys know what I know for sure and what I don't know for sure. So what I know is the initial concerns expressed to Rocker were elbow. So like it might be beyond that in reality or as a cover story. But either way, the Mets decided to move on.
Ken, let me ask you one last thing before we let you go. Have you gotten any sense in the drop in Rocker's status? Because a year or two ago, it felt like he'd be the number one pick in the draft. All of a sudden, we get to that day, and people, you know, seem to be seeing what I kind of felt, which was he wasn't anywhere near as dominant. Do you think other teams had some suspicion or knew something and that's what caused the drop?
Yes, I think, you know, you asked me had some suspicion or knew something. I think they had some suspicion.
Suspicion, yeah.
Unless they had inside sources in the Vanderbilt program, I'm not sure what they knew for sure, you know, substantively, as opposed to there was certainly a general scuttlebutt that Kumar Rocker was not whole, like you said. Like, I have full cards on the table, guys.
Yeah.
I never watched Kumar Rocker pitch in a game, never. So, I, you know, whereas you guys obviously have, so you could speak to this far more intelligent than I have, but as you just said, Watson, you know, he did drop a little bit. You know, from what I've seen statistically, he was still superb, but maybe not as rising a star as he was 2 years prior. So, yeah, teams had suspicions. Did they know something for sure? I'm skeptical who actually knew, unless one of them had an inside source in the Vandy program.
Ken, thank you for taking the time, and thanks for the honesty on this. It's a weird story, and we'll just kind of see how it plays out.
For sure, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Ken Davidoff from the New York Post joining us here.